morning. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. The most important commandment. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. The man, wanting to justify his actions, so he asked, Jesus, who is my neighbour? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was travelling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead by the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then, a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then, he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbour to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same.
Well, good morning, everyone. Particularly good morning if you're a visitor here. My name is Peter Evans. I'm one of the pastors here at the moment, depending on the meeting later on this morning. What's God's plan for you this year? What's God's plan for you this year as part of this church? What is God's plan for our church right here in Dalby? Well, we've called today Vision Sunday because we need to be asking these types of questions. We need to be asking God what he has planned for us as individuals and what God has planned for us as his church right here in Dalby. To find some answers to these questions, we're going to be opening the scriptures to be reminded of our vision. After today's service, we'll have an AGM, we'll have a congregational meeting. Ross is going to talk to us some more about our vision. He's going to be presenting to us a paper on how we plan to focus our efforts this year as we work towards this vision. Our vision is summarised in this statement. Loving God, loving his people, loving the lost. The question is, does that vision get you excited? Is this who and what we want to be as God's people right here in Dalby? I wonder, do you know why a vision is so vitally important? A vision's important because churches that develop a vision, it's like they put a compass in the hands of their people. Instead of the pastor and church leaders pulling and pushing, we all have a common sense of direction. A common sense of where we're going. It's very clear in the Bible that disunity is quite debilitating in the church. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. So today, we're going to look at just one passage that is all about loving God, loving his people, loving the lost. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word today, we thank you for the way in which it is through your word that you reveal yourself to us. We thank you for this book that it's more than just words on a page, but through it you speak to us, revealing your character and revealing to us the way in which you would have us love you and love each other. And so, Lord, as we look at this passage, open our eyes to see, give us ears to hear, minds to understand what you have to say to us this morning. We look forward to seeing your Holy Spirit at work on us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the parable of the Good Samaritan is very well known, isn't it? There's so much that we could say about this parable. But today, I'm going to start by just retelling the story. And then we'll explore the question, who is my neighbour? A big question that comes out in the parable. And we're going to talk about the answer to that very question. And we're going to see that the answer is that we actually need a new heart. We'll then finish about talking about what is called the Great Commandment, which is foundational to the vision of every church that follows Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, In Luke chapter 10 verse 25, a lawyer questions Jesus, but he's far from sincere in his question. There's no genuine desire at all for him to learn from Jesus at all, despite calling him teacher. In fact, this lawyer wants to put Jesus to the test. He asks, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, somewhat surprisingly, Jesus doesn't seem to give an answer to this question that we would expect. He doesn't kind of clearly share the gospel. He doesn't say, "Come follow me," like he did the fisherman last week. He didn't say, "Repent and believe." No. Instead, he asks his own question to the priest. He puts the lawyer to the test instead. In verse 27, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" The lawyer obviously knows his scriptures because he correctly quotes the right answer to this question. From Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:8, he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." Jesus commends his answer, but then the sting. Jesus says, "Do this and you will live." I can actually imagine the blood maybe starting to rise in the lawyer's face at this point. I mean, I just don't think this is going the way the lawyer expected. I suspect that deep down, he knows he's actually falling quite short of this. So what does he do? He hones in on that bit about loving your neighbour as yourself. You see, he needs to justify his behaviour. He says to Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" And Jesus replies with a story. A guy gets mugged by robbers while they're travelling from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was a notorious road. 29 kilometres long, it drops in altitude down 975 metres. You can actually still see parts of this Jericho road today. It's windy with steep rocky sides. It's just perfect for ambushing people. It's exactly where you'd go as a robber. That's why it was called the Bloody Pass. This poor guy, he gets attacked. He's robbed, he's stripped of his clothes, he's beaten, and he's left half dead on the side of the road. I remember when I was 13 years old, living in Bundaberg, I was riding my bike to high school. I had this light blue Malvern Star, and boy, it could fly. 12 gears, oh, the curved racing handles. You know, there was this gully on Walker Street where I just put my head down, and you could fly down one side of the gully and just rip up the other side. So here I was, head down, screaming down one side, up the other, head down, legs pumping as fast as they would go. And I mean, no one ever parks their car there. The first I see of this station wagon was this bumper bar 10 centimetres in front of my front wheel. Full speed, I smashed into the rear window, face first, And I remember lying on the sidewalk after first thinking, I'm alive. And after a while thinking, why doesn't anyone stop? Plenty of cars went by. Walker Street's a busy street in Bundaberg if you know it. But you know, not one person stopped. Forks of my bike, I bent up way past the frame. I knew I'd lost a tooth. Went searching, couldn't find it. Pick up my bike on my shoulder, walk. Must have been about a 5K walk home. Actually, when I got home, my mum found my tooth. It was in bits and pieces all over my face. You know, but this guy, though, in this story, he's got more than a broken tooth. He's been beaten. He's been stripped, robbed, left half dead on the side of the road. Now, we're not told what nationality this guy is. Did you notice that? But we are told the nationality of the people who passed by. Firstly, a priest, a man of God, one who leads the temple. He sees the man, and what does he do? He passes by on the other side of the road. As does the next man. Who is he? He's a Levite. Not a priest, but one who assists the priests in the temple. Again, someone you would think to be a godly man. He does the same thing. And then along comes a Samaritan. And at this point, as a Jew, you'd be thinking, boy, this guy is not having a good day. We've gone down the social ladder. We've gone from a priest to a Levite, and we are now down at the bottom rung of society. I mean, this is a Samaritan. I mean, Jews and Samaritans, they hate each other. This is like a black man has had an accident and a member of the Ku Klux Klan seems to be the guy walking past. Or maybe it's like a US Marine who's wounded in Iraq, and who comes past but an ISIS soldier. That's what the situation here is like, a Samaritan. The shock of every Jew listening to this, to Jesus as he tells this story, it is the Samaritan who stops and helps the man. He puts him on his own donkey, takes him to an inn, tends his wounds, feeds him, stays with him overnight, pays 2 denarii, that's 2 days of wages, to make sure he's taken care of. He even promises to return and pay for any extra expenses this guy might incur there. Jesus asks, which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? And the lawyer answers, do you notice he can't even bring himself to say it's a Samaritan? He says, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus tells him, you go and do likewise. You know, I read an article written by Martin Luther King Jr. He wrote a story, he wrote about this Good Samaritan story. He actually rented a car and drove down the road. He drove down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he spoke about how dangerous and windy it is. And he said this, he said, you know, it's possible that the priest and the Levite looked over that man on the ground and wondered if the robbers were still around. It's possible that they felt that the man on the ground, maybe he was merely faking, maybe he was just acting like he was hurt, so they could then be seized. So the first question that the priest asked, the first question the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But then the Good Samaritan came by, and what did he do? He reversed the question. And he said, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? What do you think is the main point of this parable? The lawyer questions, who is my neighbour? And Jesus changes the question to be, what kind of neighbour are you? The lawyer questions, what status of people are worthy of my love? And Jesus changes the question to be, how can I be the kind of person whose compassion totally disregards anyone's status. The Samaritan had no regard for the status of the man in need. No regard for his own personal safety, no regard for what it would cost him. His compassion overrode any differences between him and that man. See, Jesus didn't answer the question, who is my neighbour? Instead, he tells us, go and become a good neighbour yourself. And how can we do that? That's the big question, isn't it? How can we do that? Well, we need to go and do what Jesus tells the lawyer to do. We need to go and get ourselves a new heart. A heart so full of compassion that our neighbour is, in fact, everyone. Now, I wonder, how well are we doing in this area? Because I know, like, if I was driving down the road and I saw someone broken down, that car was like mine, a Toyota Prado. Actually, you won't believe that. Wouldn't be a Prado broken down. Let's say it's a Nissan Patrol. One of those newfangled Mitsubishis that Mel drives. Driving down the road, a car similar to mine, has a well-dressed family, quite well-dressed in the car. I'd have no hesitation pulling over. That car was a dirty old bomb. The family inside looked pretty dirty too, soiled clothes, swearing away. Would I be as ready to pull over and help them? Would you? Tim Keller puts it this way. He says, we instinctively tend to limit for whom we exert ourselves. We do it for people like us, for people whom we like. But Jesus will have none of that. By depicting a Samaritan helping a Jew, Jesus could not have found a more forceful way to say that anyone at all in need, regardless of race, politics, class, religion, is your neighbour. Not everyone is your brother or sister in faith, but everyone is your neighbour, and you must love your neighbour. You know what? This is what Jesus died for. Jesus died so that you and I, we can have this new heart, a heart full of compassion, a heart that overrides any differences there might be between us. So everyone then becomes our neighbour. This is the promise of the new covenant in Ezekiel 36:26. I'll give you a new heart, I'll put a new spirit in you, I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And Jesus said at the Last Supper, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This is what Jesus did for you and me at the cross. You know what? If you follow Jesus all the way to the cross, what you'll see there is Jesus paying for your new heart. What was the lawyer's initial question? Can you remember? What started all this? He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What you need is a new heart. And if you're here today and your heart is still stone and you would want to do something about it, then there is no one that can do that for you except Jesus. You have to speak to him. You have to deal with Jesus today if you want this new heart. You see, our vision is that we would be a group of people following Jesus because of our new hearts. That having a new heart means that we inherit eternal life. That we can fulfill this great command that Jesus affirms in this passage. The great command is in Luke chapter 10 verse 27. It's a shining beacon in the middle of this passage. It's the key verse. And what we see here is that our new hearts make it possible to love both God and our fellow man with our whole being. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. It says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. God doesn't want a half-hearted effort when it comes to loving him. God doesn't just want our scraps. He wants all of us. Our heart includes our emotions, our will, our deepest convictions, our soul is the immaterial part of our being, our mind is our reasoning, our thoughts, our strength is how we use the abilities and powers that we have, If you combine all that together, what's left? Nothing. It's all of us. The point is, what's required is that we love God with the total devotion of our entire being. Loving God means we delight in God above all else, that our heart's desire in this life is Jesus in all that we do. And this vertical loving relationship with God is meant to spill over into our horizontal relationships, spill over onto the people around us. We're meant to love our neighbours as ourselves. As we've just seen from the Good Samaritan, our neighbours are both our brothers and sisters in Christ, his people, and those who are lost who do not yet love God. The great commandment of loving the Lord your God with all your heart and loving your neighbour as yourself, it's a call for us all to have changed hearts. Hearts filled with love. Hearts filled with compassion that lead us to do things for God that, to be quite frank, just seem crazy in this world. Seem crazy in our own strength. This is the foundation for our vision statement. It's our vision at DPC to be a Christian family that is pursuing a loving relationship with God, each other, and the lost in our community. This is the compass we would like to place in everyone's hand. It will take more than just one of us to save this town. There's 10,000 people who don't know Jesus living in the town, in the houses around us. You know what? Almost 500 of us call DPC their home. If all 500 of us, men, women and children, were filled with this love, this compassion, if all 500 of us had this heart for God and people, the great commandment, you know what it becomes? It becomes fuel. It becomes fuel, the fuel of the Great Commission. If each of us changed the question from, what will happen to me if I stop to love this person, to, what will happen to them if I don't stop and love this person, what would happen? Does that excite you? Will you get on board? Will you join us as together we pursue this great commandment, this vision of loving God, loving his people, loving the lost? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a well-known parable for us all. And it is our prayer that maybe today we would look at it afresh. Because when this man, this lawyer, full of himself, a legalist, a self-righteous man, stands before Jesus, what does Jesus do? Jesus turns the mirror on him, makes him look in the mirror. The question is actually for him. The Good Samaritan story is not about who is my neighbour, but how do I be a neighbour? Father, may this be a great challenge for us, because the only way which we can truly carry out this great command is if we have new hearts. Hearts like this Good Samaritan, hearts that are full of such love and compassion that we feel the burden of those around us who are perishing in sin. That we look forward to that, to the wonder, that inheritance that we have in heaven with Jesus. And we just feel so distraught about and feel the burden of those around us who do not have that same inheritance because they are rejecting what Jesus did for them on the cross. Lord, give us a new heart full of love and compassion that beats and will fill us with a fresh zeal, a fresh desire, a fresh fire for the people who, for us as people. Give us a new love for each other as we encourage and rebuke and keep ourselves accountable and worship each other, worship God together. Fill us with a great zeal, a love and a compassion for those who do not know you, who are in fact lost and desperately need to know that they can have a new heart. They can have an inheritance, a new life in Jesus. Open our eyes to see what your vision might be for us. Lord, we are mere men and women looking for what your plan is right here in Dalby. Give us a heart for your vision and the wisdom to know how best we might be available for you to use. In Jesus' name, amen.